Okay, this time is for us to receive the Word of God. Let us open the Word of God in the Old Testament's Obadiah. Obadiah is in the Old Testament. Obadiah. Okay, let us read whole chapter alternatively. Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 1. Let me start and next verse. You read together. The vision of Obadiah. This is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, rise and let us go against the whole Edom for battle. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home in the heights, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? If thieves came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. Our warriors, old Tamar, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. On the day you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor look down on them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and the house of Jacob will possess its inheritance. Mm. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim, Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. Okay, together, deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Israel, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Amen. May God bless all of us with his living, powerful, and active word. Shall we pray one more time? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this place, everything you have done, you have been doing for us, in us, through us. All glory back to you. We remember your words. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Father God, yes, help us to do everything, anything we are doing for your kingdom, for your glory. This time also we thank you more than anything else for our Lord Jesus Christ and for your words. Your word is living and active and powerful, penetrating our soul, spirit, mind, joints, arrows. Father God, speak to us through your Spirit, Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of illumination, Spirit of vision, Spirit of revelation. Father God, receive this service, worship service. We hope you be happy, more happy through our service. We are serving you. Thank you for this time again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This time we read the whole one book. Hallelujah. Amen. This time we finished reading the whole one book in the Old Testament. Obadiah. Amen. Do you know that? We finished one book this time together. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. No division of chapters, only division of verses, 21 verses. Okay, let me give you one quiz. I know you love Bible quiz. How many books are there in the whole Bible having only chapter, only one chapter? How many books are there in the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation which have only one chapter? Three. You can check the answer in the Bible. Five books. In the Old Testament, only one book, Obadiah. Obadiah has one chapter. In the New Testament, four books, Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude, before Revelation. Five books. In the Old Testament, one book. In the New Testament, four books. Another quiz. Very difficult. How many persons in the Old Testament whose name Obadiah? Including this prophet Obadiah we are meeting today. 13. At the time, in the Old Testament time, Obadiah is one of very commonest name, just like Cholsu, Insu, Yongja, Sunja in Korean name, Obadiah. But none of them can be identified with any certainty as the author of this book, Obadiah. We cannot know much about this prophet Obadiah in this book. Also, we do not know exactly his family background. Exactly, we do not know where and when he lived. Just we can guess maybe he lived in the southern kingdom after division of the United Kingdom of Israel. The name Obadiah means worshiper of the Lord, or a servant of the Lord. This book, this shortest book, Obadiah, is the story of two peoples, two nations, and two kingdoms, two peoples, Esau and Jacob, two nations, Edom and Israel, two kingdoms, the Israelites and the Edomites. This book deals with their bitter rivalry, fighting each other between Esau and Jacob, Edom and Israel. This prophet Obadiah continually, from first to last in this book, produces and pronounces condemnation against Edom and prophesies their total destruction because of their persistent opposition to God's chosen people, Israel. Though the shortest of the Old Testament books, Obadiah carries one of the most powerful messages of judgment. Key word in this book is judgment. Even though very short, but message of this book is very strong, powerful, about judgment. One line is for judgment, another line is for restoration. That's why I fixed the title of this sermon is God's Judgment and God's Restoration. There is no possibility of deliverance for Edom because God will bring total, utter judgments, utter destruction upon them. There will be no remnants, no survivors. In verse 18, we can see there will be no survivors in the house of Edom. The book of Obadiah portrays Edom's day in the divine courts, complete with arraignments and indictments, accusation and sentence. We can go back to Genesis 25 to see the beginning of their history. We are very familiar with the story of Jacob and Esau. Their story started in Genesis 25. Abraham's son Isaac married Rebekah. Then Rebekah was barren, no child. So Isaac prayed for that matter. Then Rebekah became pregnant. Then she felt strong struggle in her womb. So she asked to the Lord, to God, why is this happening to me? Then the Lord answered to her, two nations is in your womb. And two peoples from your within will be separated. One people will be stronger than other people. The older will serve the younger. There were two twins in a womb. Then first boy came out. His skin was very red. And his whole skin was like hairy garments. So they named his name Esau. Esau means, literal meaning of Esau is hairy, much hair. Just like me, much hair. Are you laughing at me? I remember you. Also, his nickname is Edom. Another name is Edom. Edom means red, color red. And after him, his brother came out, his hand grasping the heel of Esau. That's why he was named Jacob. Jacob, literal meaning of Jacob is grasping, catching the heel. Figuratively means deceiver, not good means. Deceiver or cheater. Also, later his name was changed into Israel by God. Israel means struggle, fighting with God. Then as they grew up, Esau became a powerful, skillful hunter, outsider. And Jacob was a quiet man inside. Then one day, Jacob was cooking stew, lentil stew, red stew. Then Esau came in from the open field, very famished, very, very hungry. He said to his brother, Jacob, give me some stew. Then Jacob said to him, no, first sell me your birthright. Another key issue between them is the matter of birthright. Then Esau said to him, now I'm famished. I'm starving. I'm very, very hungry. What good is this birthright to me? Okay, you have. Then Jacob said again, first swear to me. Then Esau swore an oath with him, selling his birthright to him. And Jacob gave him stew, and Esau ate and drank and got up and left without thinking this matter deeply. Then Bible comments like this in Genesis chapter 25. Esau despised birthright. This is a key message sentence in this matter. Esau despised birthright. Birthright is from God. He's despising birthright means he despised God. He despised God's inheritance. He despised something from God. It means spiritually, there is no God in his lifestyle. There is no God in his mindset. There is no God in his practical practice. Shall we see verse 2 in this chapter? Verse 2. See, I will make you small. I. Who is I? In verse 2, who is I? God. This is the vision of Obadiah. Verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. Vision means revelation from God. Prophets from God. This is what the sovereign Lord says about whom? About Edom in verse 1. And verse 2, see, I will make you small among the nations. And then second part in second sentence, you, Edom, you will be utterly means totally, thoroughly, utterly, what? Despised. Please remember, God cannot honor man who dishonors him. Let me repeat. God cannot honor a man who dishonors him. Please do not despise God by despising your identity as Christian among non-Christians. Please do not despise God by despising your ministry in the church and your mission in this in this world. This is one first message given to us today we must remember. We must not forget in our Christian life. And since then, from this time, their fighting started. From this time, Esau started to hate his brother. Yes, they were blood brother, blood brother. In Korean, we say blood brother, Ichon, Ichon, not cousin, Ichon brother. You don't, anyway, blood brothers, blood brother. Then, since then, their bitter enmity went on and on and on continually from generation to generation. Then Esau's children became Edom, the Edomites, and Jacob's children became Israel. So two persons are representative, two peoples, two nations, two kingdoms. It means the fact he despised the birthright means his first concern. What is your first concern? His first concern is material, not spiritual. All the time, earthly things, not heavenly things. All the time, what is seen, not what is unseen. It means his first concern is what is temporary, not what is eternal. And later, Esau became Edom country. Their country lived under the Dead Sea, very near from Canaan. Okay, you know, Canaan. And then Jacob's children became Israel, became huge country, huge nation. And in Exodus, they came out from Egypt. We call it Exodus events, under the leadership of Moses toward Canaan, the promised land. And when they were near to Canaan, Moses sent messengers, representatives of Israel, to the king of Edom, asking politely, please allow us, let us to pass through your territory to your land. We will not eat any fruits. We will not drink any water from your lands. Just we will pass through. Please allow us. But Edom said, no, you cannot pass our lands. If you try, we will come out. We will march and we will attack you with the sword. Then Israel asked again, please, we only want to pass. If we drink your water, we will pay. But Esau country, Edom, came out, marched against them, and tried to attack them. So Israel had to turn away from them. And since then, their fighting, their quarrel continues until when? Even until New Testament time, until one of them disappeared in human history. Yes, in the United Kingdom time of Israel, this country, Edom, fought against who is the first king of the United Kingdom of Israel? Saul, yes. They opposed Saul, but they were subdued again by next king, David and Solomon. And then, after the division of the United Kingdom of Israel between Southern Kingdom and Northern Kingdom, they again fought against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the fourth king of the United Kingdom after division. And again, they successfully rebelled against the next king, Jehoram, fifth king, of course, the Southern Kingdom. And again, they tried to fight, continually, 9th king, 12th king. Even in the 5th century, Edom, this country, was controlled by Assyria and Babylonia. Even their fighting continued until the New Testament time. Yes, we know the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King of Herod, the king of Judah at the time, Herod. Then Herod, when he heard the news of the birth of Jesus Christ, he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in order to kill whom? Kill Jesus Christ. You know, this Herod was a descendant of Esau. And our Lord Jesus Christ came through the line of Jacob. So in a sense, their enmity between Esau and Jacob was continued in Herod's attempt to kill, to murder Jesus Christ. And finally, this country, Edom, was destroyed completely in human history in AD 70. By whom? By Titus. Roman general. So as Obadiah prophesied in this book, after that time, Edom was never heard of in human history. Shall we see verse? Okay. Verse 4, let me show you quickly. Verse 4, second part. I will bring you down, declares the Lord. I will bring you. Who is you? Edom. Yes, thank you. Verse 6. But how Esau will be ransacked. Ransacked means totally destroyed. His hidden treasures pillaged. Also pillaged means destroyed, ruined. And verse 9, second part. Everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. Verse 10, because of the violence against your brother Jacob. Yes, in starting point, they were blood brothers. They should be kind, they should be gentle, they should be helpful to each other, blood brothers. But because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You, Edom, you will be destroyed. How long? Forever. And finally, verse 19, second part, there will be no survivors, no remnants, no one left from the house of Esau. Yes, we know today very well around us, there is no country named Esau, but there is still a country named Israel. Yes. Yes, as I mentioned already, the key word of this book is the judgments of Edom and the restoration of Israel. This short book has two sections. First section is from verse 1 to 18. In this first section, Obadiah makes it clear that the coming overthrow, the coming destruction of Edom is a certainty, not a condition. Verse 3 says, Edom was arrogant. Edom is very proud. because of their secure position. You know, their position, geographical position was very, very safety, very, very secure. In Mount Seir, mountainous region south from the Dead Sea. So its capital city of Sela, was protected by a narrow canyon, you know, narrow canyon, which prevents any kind of invasion, any kind of attack by an army. That's why they thought we are very, very safe. But God says to them, it will make no difference. Nothing will change God's complete judgment and destruction and condemnation upon them. And second section is from verses 18 to 21. This is a promise of the restoration of Israel, God's chosen people. These closing verses give hope to God's people that they will possess not only their own land, but also the land of even Edom and Philistia. In this short book, we can see our Lord Jesus Christ. In this story, three positions of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, our Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of all nations. Do you agree this one? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of all nations. Number two, our Lord Jesus Christ is the savior of his own people. And number three, our Lord Jesus Christ is the possessor of the kingdom. You know, last verse says, deliver us. Verse 21 says, deliver us will go up to Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Israel. And the kingdom will be the Lord's. Shall we say it together? The kingdom will be the Lord's. Yes, our Lord Jesus is the possessor, holder of the kingdom. Okay. I said already this book is very, very short, but message is very powerful, very strong. I want to share with you just three lessons from this book. How many lessons? Three lessons. Please remember these three lessons and put this lesson into your practice, also my practice. Okay. First, number one, as we know, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3, God himself declares, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. God himself declares. Do you agree this one? Yes, amen. Because God is creator. We are his creation. In our whole life, yes, everybody has a big concern, others' judgment upon me. Of course, I'm a pastor, but also, honestly speaking, I'm very interested in your judgment, in your evaluation upon me. That's true, but the most important thing through our whole life is God's judgment, God's evaluation upon ourselves. Please remember, God's judgment is the final and ultimate and whole judgment and evaluation upon us. Remember, God's judgment, God's evaluation can be different from humans, ours, our judgment, our evaluation. From humans' perspective, we can say, yes, Esau and Jacob, Both of them are not perfect. They are humans. Both of them have good points, bad points, strengths, weakness, innocence. Innocence in one pass, we can say maybe Esau is better than Jacob, innocence. You know, Jacob lived very cheatingly. He's a deceiver. He told a lie. Oh, Esau looks very manly. But God's final evaluation on Esau is he lived by sight. He lived a life of godlessness, according to Hebrews 12:16. Hebrews 12:16, God's final evaluation on whom? On Esau. God evaluated Esau's life. You lived a life of godlessness. But God's final evaluation on Jacob is according to Hebrews 11:21. Jacob lived by faith, not by sight. Jacob lived the life of prayer and worship. How wonderful, how blessed Jacob. This is the final evaluation of God upon Jacob's life. So all the time, consider, think about it, what God's evaluation upon my life, upon your life. Second lesson we can get from this short book, let's think about God's sovereignty, God's sovereignty. Verse 1. Shall I read one more time in verse 1? The vision of Obadiah. This is what God, sovereign God says about rhythm. Yes, God is sovereign. Shall we say it together? God is sovereign. You know, in Romans chapter 9, especially Romans chapter 9 is Romans chapter 9's key message is God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. Romans chapter 10 is human's responsibility. Then in Romans chapter 9 says, Rebecca's children. How many children? Rebecca's children? 2. Esau and Jacob. Rebecca's children had one and the same father, our father Isaac. But even before they were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. Yes, as it is written in the Old Testament already, I loved Jacob. I hated Esau. You know, 2 times, so even in Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 repeats again. I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. Many times repeated. What then shall you say? Is God unjust? Is God unjust? No. God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Therefore, it does not depend on man's, human beings' desire or efforts. Do you have desire? Do you have ambition? But Bible says in the matter of sovereignty of God, it does not depend on man's desire or efforts, but on God's mercy and grace. What does this mean to us? God is a sovereign God. God has a sovereign means. Yes, we say all the time, God is good all the time. Do you believe? God is good all the time. Whatever he is doing is good, right, and just. It means God is absolute, God is exclusive, God is independent from all creations He created. So, we must believe this sovereignty of God. If a man is, okay, let me give you one question. This is very basic but fundamental importance question. Are you lost or saved? Very vital question. Are you saved or lost? In the matter of sovereignty of God, Bible says, if a man is lost forever, he is lost because of his unbelief, unfaithfulness, faithlessness in God by not believing in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. Then if we are saved, we are saved not because of our merits, not because of our good works, but because of the grace and mercy and compassion of God manifested, demonstrated through what Jesus has done on the cross. This is the real message of sovereignty of God. Okay, finally, this is a very practical message given to us to practice in our daily life, especially Christian life. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Is that true? The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction, eternal destruction. But the one who sows to please the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit will reap what? Eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. Are you doing good now? Amen, I believe. Are you doing good to your neighbors, to your next, to your friend, to all? Let us not weary. Let us not become tired, exhausted in doing good. Why? For at the proper time, we will reap harvest, holy harvest, beautiful harvest, if we do not give up. And Bible says, let us do good to all people. Let us do good to all people. Yes, we should do good. We should be kind to all people. But Bible says, but especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is a very practical message. Esau and Jacob are blood brothers, but became enemies. That's why in the New Testament says to all Christians, be kind, do good to all people, but especially do good more better to Christians, your fellow Christians, your fellow workers. Why? Because we are same brothers and sisters in Christ. How long? Forever. Shall we pray together? Let us take, even time is very short, let us take individual time to pray and examine yourselves whether you are in the faith or not. Examine yourselves, you live by sight or by faith. Examine yourselves, you are living the life of godlessness or the life of prayer and worship. Our Lord God, we worship you. We praise you, Father God. Help us to remember all the time we are being judged. We are being evaluated by you. Your final evaluation upon us is final evaluation will be applied in our eternal life in heaven, in your kingdom. O Lord God, help us to live the life of prayer and worship. Help us to live by faith, not by sight. Help us to fix our eyes on what is unseen, not what is seen, because what is unseen, what is invisible is eternal and forever. But we know what is seen is very, very temporary. All will disappear very soon, just like a flower, just like grass in the field. Help us to be wise before you all the time. Thank you once again for your words. Your words is all the time encouraging us. Yes, same time your words is encouragement upon us. Also, at the same time, your word is warning upon us. Thank you for your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.